All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. This is a Kiss-related podcast by the board for the board. We hope that you enjoy. All right, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. I'm your host, Julian Gill. We are back. We are live. Thank you for taking the opportunity and giving us your time to join us this morning. We've got Lonnie on the road. Lonnie, thanks for, making time for the show.
What's up? I'm glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, Mark is almighty. Mark.
Greetings.
69th Blizzard, the one, the only, the voice of reason, the only opinion that matters to himself.
Ken. You're right. Hello.
And the wild man from the north, Daniel.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm looking at your hair jealously because I just had my spring shearing and there wasn't much to share.
Shearing.
Yeah. It's
just... Well, it was way better 10 years ago, but I still got some.
Yeah, those days are gone. It's all growing back in the wrong fucking places at this age. All right, we've got some various topics. We're going to be doing the last 16 of the death match. We are getting near the end. We'll be doing one more show and blasting through the final brackets for that. And then we'll be getting going with a new bracket. Got to figure out which it's going to be because we are going to do the solo album bracket, the Kiss solo albums in September as part of the celebration. Pathoden, Cecil Music, CMX, Sylvie, AB, Bill Phelps, Opal Archive, Titania, whatever. Thank you for joining us live. So Gene Simmons went to South America with his band. And one of the really nice things about that is the positivity coming out of how great the band sounds, how released Gene seems from the shackles that have been holding him back to a certain extent, and how he wasn't wearing asshole sunglasses or a hat, and he looked pretty good and sounded great. Lonnie, did you manage to catch up on any of the Gene Live stuff?
A little bit, yeah. And I think that it's great. I mean, it's fun to see Gene still out there doing it. I mean, that guy obviously truly loves what he does, or else he wouldn't be out there doing the solo stuff so quickly. You know, I think that it sounds great. So, I mean, I'm all for it, and hope that these continue, and, you know, hope to see a little run through the States like he did a few years ago. But I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, not too surprisingly, he dropped Weapons of Mass Destruction from the set list. But South American audience, Daniel, did you catch up on that after? I mean, we talked about the set for what it was worth, but it seemed to go over really good with that audience.
Yeah, I think looking back at Gene's previous solo tour, he will change the setup, and that's a great thing. We're not used to that as Kiss fans. We're used to the same old set list all the time. But Gene will mix things around, mix things up, and I hope he adds like Fits Like a Glove and stuff like that when it comes over. I actually bought a ticket after watching the South American shows. It's a cheap ticket. It's like, let's see now, I have to translate it in my head. It's like... not even $10 the ticket for Gene in Sweden. Wow. So that's actually, I bought the ticket. I'll see if I go there because it's like 800 kilometers from here. So it's pretty far to go, but it's in the summer and we got a long vacation over here. So I might go there.
Cool. Hit the road. Why not? Go see some live music. Pathoden. Now, yeah, I remember now. Yeah, you're in Chicago this way, about to play a gig. So one of the Kiss brothers has new music out, Devolution. Check him out on Facebook. If you like heavy, they'll melt your brain. So congratulations on having the EP out, guys, and have a great show. Mark, one of the things that Gene was saying from the stage, nothing is fake. We sing live. We play live. What's your take on that? And do you think that he's been freed of some shackles that have been holding him back?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear that he's having a good time doing this, not having to play to any sort of a clique or any kind of pre-recorded vocals obviously makes it a lot more enjoyable. You can, you know, if you miss a vocal or if you come in late, it's not a big disaster. You can just walk over to the microphone and just start whenever you want to. And as long as the band's listening to you properly, then, you know, it's not a big deal, right? You can just do whatever you want. And like Daniel said too, the beauty of it as well is that because you don't have, you know, these prearranged stuff, you can change your set list much easier because you don't have to worry about, you know, oh, the lighting is already prearranged to this set list. So you can do whatever you want. You can add whatever you want. You know, he's still doing a couple of covers. That's fine. But, you know, the audience seems to be enjoying it. He seems to be having a good time. And that's the main thing. I mean, you know, having played festivals myself a few times, especially in, you know, on, let's say, like, I got to play once at the Azores Islands in Portugal, and that was like fantastic. Like, you're right by the ocean, you know, playing on a big stage like that. It's I mean, what's there to complain about? You know what I mean? You have a large audience that's loving the music and cheering you on and stuff like that, and it's great. I think Gene's gonna have a good time, you know, doing these kinds of shows.
Piledriver had a great audience for that Pro Shot video with the soundboard. That, where was that? That was Germany?
Yeah, it was in Germany, yeah.
Yeah, freaking mental. Ken, your boy's back on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your take on him being, you know, nothing is fake?
Yeah, nothing is fake. Yeah, I always felt that he didn't really agree to that lip-syncing stuff, and though he kind of had to fall in line because Paul's running the show. So it's just, you know. That was Mark, as usual. But anyway. But yeah, I think it's great, though. He seems energized. You know, he seems energized and happy and to be back on the stage just doing what he wants to do. You know, hopefully he'll make it out to California at some point. You know, I'd like to go see it, even though, you know, I'd like the set list to change a little bit, of course. Yeah, I'm all for it. I think, I don't know how long this thing's going to go on, if he's going to go on beyond, you know, this year and do it again next year or what. But, you know, I think it's all good, you know, whatever makes him happy, you know, and obviously be on a stage does so. That's great stuff.
Hey, he could roll out of bed. He doesn't have to spend an hour doing makeup. He doesn't have to, half the shit that he's had to do as part of the business side of things. I don't doubt that. Well, he'll want to sell some stuff because the whole object of the game is to make money.
True.
You know, and again, it is an experience for people to meet him. I would still like to get a great picture with Gene without makeup after that fucking one in Edmonton, which they snapped me as I'm walking in, and hi, Gene. I look a little bit dumber than normal.
Fanboy.
He's just there, you know, you know, ready to pose. A horrendous photo. It's like, Jesus. But, you know, I'm excited. It's great to see Gene back on the road. And like Ken, I hope he makes it out to the West Coast. I hope Ace does as well, for that matter. There's now two original members of KISS out there playing KISS music. And, you know, that's what there is. There's nothing else to look forward to. Pop House doesn't seem to have anything on the horizon until 2027. And it's early days, you know, of that deal anyway, for anything to creativity wise start coming down the pipeline, because who knows if their vision is the same as the old vision, in terms of the other, if it's all avatars and only avatars, which ain't gonna hold my interest for 3 years. So we'll have to wait and see. One of the other topics on the board this week was losing interest, and who was that by? That was Goaty. Goady, I don't know how you say your name. So, our resident Thai. Do you find yourself losing interest in KISS now that the end of the road has been reached? Are you listening to KISS less? Are you checking in on message boards and podcasts and Facebook groups less than you were previously? Or was it already a pretty low bar by the time we've reached the end of the road, Mark?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest, okay? I mean, if there's one thing you can rely on, is I'll be honest on this podcast, and that is, I've been you know, I'm not going to say I've lost interest. I still have interest. Obviously, I wouldn't be here doing this if I didn't have any interest in Kiss. But I've really sort of took a left turn, and I've been watching a lot of like these hardcore metal podcasts. Like the other night, they were doing a top thrash metal albums between 85 to 1990 kind of podcast and stuff like that. So, I mean, because when I was younger, I was into all these bands like Opeth, Nevermore, you know, all these sort of more thrashier bands, you know, even like old school
Swedish bands. Swedish bands.
Yeah, you know, as well. Yeah, Evergrey. Opeth. Yeah,
Evergrey. Yeah. Opeth, I think, is Swedish as well.
Yeah, they are Swedish.
I was a Closet Tankard fan.
There you go.
You remember that?
Which album won, or which artist won that competition?
It was between, there was three different people, and all of them had different opinions on which ones were. It wasn't like a final thing, like how we do it, right? Everybody's had their own opinions, and they just talked about it. But you know, Blackwater Park did very well though for Opeth and stuff like that, right? Mm. But you know, I still think that the problem with Kiss right now is because they're, you know, technically dead in the water now, it is difficult to kind of find reason to be all up and, you know, excited about stuff. There's not going to be any new, you know, records coming out. There's not going to be anything new coming probably for a little bit, right?
It hasn't been a new record in over a decade, though, either. So.
Yeah, true. But that makes my point even better. I mean, what is there really to be excited about? I mean, they're just reissuing stuff, but I get excited about the reissues. Those are okay. Mm-hmm. But, that's why I'm kind of keeping my interest, you know, flexible and going to some of these other things, because there's a lot of bands I'm into that are doing material and putting out new things and touring still. So I'll never lose my interest totally in Kiss, but it's probably lower than it's been now for a little while.
Yeah, there's a lot of other music shit happening. Wolfgang Van Halen's behind the music. I don't know if that's dropped yet, but it's imminently going to drop, and it's going to be good. Trust me on that. Def Leppard has the Pyromania box set, which CD2 is where it's all at for fans of that band, which are the demos and rough mixes, and absolutely fantastic. And plus what they did with the German partial show that they included sounds spectacular. Bon Jovi documentary for people who go that way as well. So there's tons of new music. There's tons of music, not necessarily new, to keep you occupied. Lonnie, what about your interest level?
Well, I think my interest level is the same. I don't think it's waned or anything like that. I mean, like I said, I mean, it's not like all of a sudden, oh, well, now there's no new album to look forward to. Like I said, there hasn't been a new album in a decade. I know. I think being a Kiss fan is kind of like you're always kind of frustrated with what's going on or what's not going on. I think it's kind of remained the same, really. I mean, I think it is frustrating that we announced this deal with Pop House, I guess it was a month ago, and that just kind of faded, and we're just kind of back in purgatory where we've been. But we have been in purgatory for like the last year or so while we were waiting for the Pop House deal. And I know it's, we all want instant gratification, but you know, obviously nothing has happened yet. So I don't find myself listening to Kiss less, though, to be perfectly honest. I don't find that my interest in Kiss is any less than it's been. I think that Kiss has become such a big part of me and a big part of my life that, well, now that they're not doing shows, well, I'm just putting them on the back burner. That's not going to be the case for, I think, the super fans like us and super fans who are on the FAQ message board on a daily, you know, or so basis. For the casual fan, sure. For the casual fan who might go see Kiss when they come to town, yeah, they don't. Well, Kiss isn't coming to town anymore. Well, my interest is going to, you know, steer in another direction. But I think for the hardcore Kiss fans, no, I think my interest is just what it always has been.
Yeah, Daniel, how about you? Obviously, if you've just bought a $10 ticket to see Gene Simmons, there's still a trickle of interest there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think my interest in Kiss is in my DNA. I will never lose interest in Kiss. They have been so important to me, and Julian has prepared a podcast for a Swedish podcast, actually, and I've been working on an episode as well for that podcast, and my take was going through why I became a Kiss fan and how it has developed through the years, and it became pretty obvious that I can't shake the Kiss interest. It doesn't really matter what happens, what they do, if they stop playing, if they record lousy music. It's still there somehow. I will continue to listen to Kiss music. And I think the interest in fandom has like developed into something more than just being a fan of the band. These days, I enjoy the podcasting with you guys. That's a really important thing in my Kiss fandom. I like meeting new people that are interested in Kiss because I was lacking that when I was at the height of my Kiss fandom. There was no one around that liked Kiss at the same level as I did. And now, finding you guys, we've been doing this for years, but just discussing things with fans at the same level, I think that's been really fantastic for me. Meeting people that understand what it's all about. So to me, my Kiss interest has sort of metamorphed into, you know, the sort of a religious feeling, meeting people that understand what it's about. Instead of listening to a Kiss record, I can enjoy a discussion with a Kiss fan for an hour or two, and that really makes me happy. So I think I will continue to be a huge Kiss fan, and I will continue trying to meet guys that are at the same level in the fandom, you know, because you can't talk about Kiss with a regular person. They don't get it. So these types of things with podcasts and stuff, that's what makes my, you know, makes me tick, you know. Mm. So through the podcast and through the discussions and listening to the my favorite albums, I will continue doing that, I think, forever.
Yeah, you just touched on kind of a core concept. DNA, it's an affliction. It's an addiction. You can only talk about leprosy to other people who have leprosy. It really is so much part of who I am now, my identity, that, you know, I structure, you know, a lot of my weekends around things that I want to work on. I mean, you talked about the podcast that we're working. I've turned in the first, maybe the first part of my episode. 60 hours of work went into that. I would say I have not lost interest in Kiss if I'm putting 60 hours of work into 40.
Why don't you put 60 hours of work into our podcast, Julian?
Wow.
Because we just show up here and we talk. I don't have to write it out and have it make sense for, you know, really 47 minutes.
You could make it all flashy and, you know, flamboyant. And
Yeah, exactly. I get to do all the things that I enjoy doing with, like, the song stories on a lot larger and longer format. So, you know, I get my rocks off doing that. You know, and I've been going through boxes of CDs, chucking stuff out mostly, but checking them. And then I find all the Toronto Phase 1 rehearsal takes. And I had, like, 8 or 9 copies of it, and one of them was nearly pristine. So I've been geeking out on that sort of stuff. So, you know, we've got 30 people watching this show today with us. So we're gathered with friends and family here, you know, talking about a common passion. So my interest in, like, paying attention to what Paul Stanley, you know, how many miles he rode today on his bicycle, is gone. I'm not keeping up with what Tommy's working on or any of that.
Rode my electric bike.
Who's cooking pancakes? Who's making quiche? Zero interest in that. But the music, the videos, and all that shit is still completely addictive. As I say in that podcast, my name is Julian, and I'm addicted to Kistry.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped for me since, you know, 1977, so... I've never wavered or anything, but
you don't know any other way.
No, I don't know any other way, but I just recently just thinking of about the realization that, you know, geez, I'm not going to see those guys in makeup again. You know, I'm not going to see them on, like, in a concert. I'm not going to see them new concerts online on YouTube or anything like that. It's kind of it's starting to sink in that there's no more of that there anymore. So I kind of expect to listen to Kiss more because I had so much, oversaturation or whatever you want to call it, of Kiss throughout the career and stuff, that I kind of didn't listen to them as much because I listened to them so many thousands of times, all the albums and things. So now it's like, it's kind of going away. I think I'm going to probably listen to them more than I was listening to them actually while they were still touring and more active. I think just to, enjoy it that way. It is about the music again. But yeah, I'm not going to waver. I'm hoping there's going to be some box sets down the road if this new group, what is it, Poop House, does their thing.
Poop House.
They're going to poop out some Kiss material for us.
Ken should change the parentheses to Optimistic Ken instead of Voice of Reason because he's always talking about these box sets. Cause we're just flooded.
Optimistic Ken, 70s Ken. What else?
70s Ken never gives up.
70s Ken. But just real quick, we need to get do a shout out to some of our listeners because Bill Phelps, he's always here. The Opal Archive, always here. Simiak Solhoyo, always here. Sylvia Rose, always here. And these guys, and AB, I think his name is, they're always listening to us. And we don't forget you guys. We see it and we appreciate you being here. Almost every live episode, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Give yourself
a hell yeah. We're in a pub right now. At least Lonnie is.
Yeah. I'm in a pub as well.
Yeah. So, you said something good by saying poop house. If the drain has been clogged for a year, of the pipeline has been clogged, then maybe they need to roto-rooter it and just flush that. Flush it and get all that stuff out.
Yeah.
And then they can start fresh. Flesh. All right, we're going to go into the final 16 of the Kiss album or studio album song Deathmatch. 16 songs remain. So we're just going to do that round today. And we got Black goes into Pink. And
let's get it right
final
today,
eight
guys.
Are going to be right, first two songs.
This will be
still
hard.
Bitter, eh? Still bitter.
We are starting.
That's the Canadian thing.
I'm glad Julian's back on board here.
All right. So first two songs out are Creatures of the Night.
That's a good one.
Verses. These are all going to be ugly now. You know that. Yeah.
Studio versions.
Versus Take Me.
Oh, jeez.
Let's start with you.
Like you said, it's going to be tough now. Like I said, I've never, I've said before that, Revenge is the one Bob album that I kind of like the most out of the other ones, right? And so
what does Revenge have to do with it?
Creatures.
I was thinking of a different song.
Mark, are you the one drinking on the show today?
Yeah, I think I might have had a little too much earlier.
Oh my
I was thinking of taking off for a second there for some reason.
But Mark, what if Mark was drinking? How many burps would we get in an episode?
Oh, you
that would be pretty cool to know.
I could do the alphabet probably. But take me. There we go. Thank you. Take me versus Creatures. So this is going to be even tougher.
You misspelled night.
Because Take Me is of course off my favorite record, and Creatures of the Night is probably one of my favorite songs off the Creatures of the Night the album. I mean, I think that's such a great album. This is going to be really hard now. But
torture
to me, this is going to be between Sonics and just. Well, Sonics, because both of them have the kind of thing that I like. Take Me has the sort of raw sort of sound that everybody was praying for after the Destroyer came out. And then the Creatures of the Night was the song, the album that, was really kind of, triumphantly returned Kiss, right? So which one do I go for? I mean, it's difficult. I mean, I think I'm going to probably be a little bit contrarian. I'm going to go with Creatures of the Night because I kind of feel that even though Take Me is a good song, I think Creatures has a little bit more of what I like in a more modern production. It has a little bit more, the guitar playing is a little bit more, flashier, a little bit more.
Surprise there.
Yeah. I mean, normally I would take Me, but in this situation, I don't know. I think I'm just, my gut says to go with Creatures. I don't think it's going to win it, but I'm just going to go with Creatures.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ken, you're sitting there pondering and shaking your head. Let's see. Take Me or Creatures of the Night?
Take Me. It's easy for me. Take Me.
Easy? No, easy.
Yes, it is. It's a better classic song.
It's older. It's 70s. Okay.
Yeah, 70s Ken has appeared.
I got it.
Imagine Take Me, if you say production, take Me with Creatures production. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would work. I don't think it would sound good. Something would be missing there. So Take Me, I think Creatures is, yes, again, it's a good song, real good leadoff song, and it rocks and, you know, has the bombast. But Take Me is the very aggressive Paul, you know, womanizing song and that sort of thing that, you know, they're known for. And it's just a great riffing, cool song, rock and roll at their best, you know, when they were doing that stuff. So I gotta go with Take Me.
All right, Lonnie.
Not surprising Ken went with Take Me, but I was one that pushed Creatures into this next round to Ken's disappointment. He wasn't happy
about it. Was it you?
You weren't happy about it then either. And while I love Creatures of the Night, and I think the studio version of that is the superior version of that song, I'm still going to go with Take Me, because Take Me just embodies everything that a Kiss song should be, in my opinion. I think I've talked about this before when we had Take Me in one of these death matches, with the Paul lyrics, the crotch rock lyrics, the great A solo, just the great groove of that song, just encompasses everything what a Kiss song should be, in my opinion. So as much as I like Creatures and I love the sound of Creatures of the Night, I'm with 70s Ken on this one. I'm going Take Me.
Nice. Yes. Daniel, are you going to side with the 70s or the 80s?
I could actually go either way, because these are two of my absolute favorite songs. I love the cock rock in Take Me. That's a cool song. You know, the moonlight shining down on her head. I think so fantastic. Rocket in my pocket and all that. But Creatures of the Night is such a perfect studio version. From the lead-off solo, to the guitar solo, to Paul singing, to the bombastic drums. I think when we're talking studio albums, as good as Take Me is, to me, Creatures of the Night is a bit superior, actually. So I have to go with Creatures of the Night, but I could go either way. Both songs are 10 out of 10. Yeah,
it's easy to go either way.
So, Julian, you have to decide this.
Lonnie, what did you say?
I said Take Me.
Okay. Sorry.
You're
going to make me decide this.
Yeah.
Math is hard.
So do you want to live or do you want to die?
I'm
wow.
I'm doing both. All right. So
it's a draw. It's a draw.
Take Me is just quintessential Kiss. And people have pointed out that I often kind of vote according to a historical perspective before personal taste. And Take Me fits everything to kind of sum up Kiss 77 and the Alive 2 era. And the greatness of the group. But Creatures of the Night is so damn bombastic. I think it's going to come down to one factor. Is that Take Me has all of the members of the group playing on it. And it has that tongue-in-cheek humor that really was the foundation of the group. And I'm going Take Me. And it hurts to because the bombast of that song was just such a flipping of the switch. But Take Me,
it was.
It's just rock and roll. That is the identity of Kiss summed up right there. And both of these songs sound great. Both of them have aged fantastically. And I could listen to either of them right now without any questions. Sure. I got to go with the 70s.
Dime.
Yeah.
All right. Two down. 14 remain.
Oh.
Okay.
All these are going to suck. Just
I know. Yeah.
Heaven's on Fire.
Okay.
Which means we're going to start. We know who we're starting with on that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Come on and love me.
Oh.
Come on and love me versus Heaven's on Fire. Daniel, get us started.
Yeah, once again, I love both songs. But then you have to think about your own history, of course. And even though I discovered Dress to Kill pretty early on and loved the album the first time I listened to it, and Come On and Love Me was one of the songs that stuck out, I can't go against Heavens on Fire. That's the reason why I became a Kiss fan, you know.
Mm.
The first, I just needed to hear that song one time, and I was, you know, I was a Kiss fan. I still remember it. I was in a tent. I was 10 years old. A guy put in the cassette. It was a black cassette, and it said Hard Rock, and it's called, that's Hard Rock, Hard Rock. And he put it in the player, and
Hard Rock,
pushed,
yes.
Yeah, Hard Rock.
Hard Rock.
Hard Rock.
Hard Rock. Hard Rock.
Hard Rock. Hard Rock, yeah. And he put it in, and just that yodeling thing that Paul did, I, you know, immediately was caught back, and then it's been one of my favorite songs ever since, and there's some great vocals on that song. There's a catchy chorus, not much of a guitar solo, but you don't need it in that song, and it's one of Kiss's most popular songs, if you look at Spotify, for example. People still listen to this song, and I don't understand why. It's such a great song, so I have to go with Heaven's on Fire.
Lottie.
Oh. I was a little worried when Daniel started telling a story about being in a tent with another guy when he was 10 years old, and I'm glad it went the direction that it did.
Oh, my God.
I didn't say everything that happened in that tent.
Oh, however, as much as we knew what Daniel's choice was going to be, we all know what my choice is going to be. As much as I love Heaven's on Fire, Come On and Love Me is my absolute favorite Kiss song. Again, it's just so classic of a song. It's in the same vein as Take Me, in my opinion, where it's just everything I want a Kiss song to be is Come On and Love Me. It's just like Take Me is. So it's Come On and Love Me. Not gonna delayed any longer. It's really going to be up to the rest of the three of you, because we all knew what Daniel and my opinion were going to be.
All right, Ken, which 70s song are you voting for here?
Yeah, easy to read Ken for this stuff.
Yeah, you know, Heaven's on Fire is the song that, in my opinion, that song saved Animal Eyes. Because it,
2 million sold.
That's what sold that record. I think had that song not been on there, that would have really not sold anywhere near what it did. So from that standpoint, it's a great, you know, it was a cool song, a great hit for them. But I got to go with Come On and Love Me. Yes, it's 70s, of course. It just happens to be in the 70s. But it's a well-written, you know, cool, classic Kiss, you know, song, doing more of a poppy kind of feel, and it works, and it's catchy.
The studio version, Ken, because even don't be thinking studio about a live there.
I'm not thinking about live. I like the studio version. I think both versions are good. Yeah, real good. So I'm okay with the production of Dress to Kill. Yeah, I would have rather had a little bit, you know, heavier or raw or whatever, but it's not bad. It's a pretty good production. So, yeah, come on and love me for me.
And who says a song needs a, you know, a complex solo? I love it loud at, what, 7 notes? And, you know.
Yeah. Lick it up. Apparently a solo on that one, too.
Too many notes. Mark.
Okay, well, again, this is one of those difficult ones, too, because both of them I voted for through on the last round. I love, you know, Heaven's on Fire and Come On and Love Me. I love that song as well. Again, it kind of goes back to a little bit of what Daniel was saying too. I think when you heard these songs has a lot to do with how it impacts you, right? I mean, obviously for Daniel, when he first heard it and that was his introduction to Kiss, I mean, it makes absolute perfect sense that he's going to pick that one, right? For me, it's kind of the same thing in essence, because while I think Dress to Kill is probably one of the best 70s albums that they did, for sure. I've always loved that record. Everything from it beginning to end, I've always loved. But I remember my sister, and she gets mentioned a lot on this podcast, Jane. She got that single, Heaven's on Fire, when it came out, and that was playing in our apartment, like, geez, like every day for weeks on end. And it was one of those early Kiss songs that I heard when I was just, you know, growing up. And it's punchy. It's to me, everybody is a classic to me, because you don't forget, I'm a bit younger too. Well, not younger, but younger in some aspects. I like that kind of that generation of the 80s stuff, right? More, I don't know if I'm going to say more than 70s, but I'm more, it's more it feels more comfortable for me sometimes, the 80s stuff. It's just more familiar for me, right? So I'm going to go with Heaven's on Fire. As much as I love Come On and Love Me, I'm going to go with Heaven's on Fire, because, again, there's something special about that. It brings me back to my, you know, younger days, and my sister introduced me to a lot of these Kiss classics.
So I've got to break the damn tie again.
Yep.
Great.
Mm-hmm. You're going to kill the best song once again.
I am, because Heaven's on Fire now, I can't listen to without thinking of it as one of the songs that helped shred Paul Stanley's voice. Now, going back to becoming a fan, obviously my entry point was Tears Are Falling. And, you know, Heaven's on Fire was still in pretty heavy rotation on MTV back then. Yeah. But I can't even measure that against Come On and Love Me. If I do a top 10, you know, of Kiss songs right now, Come On and Love Me's there, and Heaven's on Fire sure as hell isn't. Sorry, Daniel. Sorry, Mark. But I am. Come On and Love Me has always been one of my favorite Kiss songs.
And yeah, same here.
It's no thought. It's absolutely nothing. I don't even feel guilty about killing Daniel's dreams.
I got joined in my Julian now.
Julian, the executioner. Yeah.
70s Julian.
I pass the torch to Julian now.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, Daniel. But at least you have a nice story about it.
We need some younger guys on the podcast, guys.
Oh, Mark and I, there's 3 Asylumites.
Younger.
Yeah.
I'm the youngest guy on the show, and I said, come on and love me.
See? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Next one.
Jesus disappointed in us.
This is pure torture this round.
Well, wait till this Lord. One. Black Diamond.
Oh, Lord.
Ooh.
What's it going to eliminate?
Could not be.
King of the Nighttime World.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty this easy. Is easy.
This is okay.
I was hoping all it wasn't right. Against another song, but anyway.
Ken, get us started. So which 70s song are you voting for here?
Yeah, Black Diamond for sure. Like, you know, my favorite song. Just the classic riff and the whole vibe of it. Peter's vocals, everyone's. You know, this is not live. Yeah, it's studio. The studio's not the greatest production, but it's still good enough to represent that song for what it is. The bombast of that song, the way it is. That's why they, you know, that was their closer in the early Kiss. They closed out with that, or you know, before they did the Let Me Go Rock and Roll, I guess, that was the big closer. So that was their rock and roll night before Rock and Roll, like, you know, came along later on. So, yeah, great song, favorite. It's an easy one for me.
Which one was it?
You have to ask, really?
The Black Diamond.
Oh, okay. No, I'm writing and
not King of the Nighttime.
Multitasking.
Not a cover song.
You can't do that. You know that, Julian.
Putting up comments. It's getting more and more
difficult. Not going to pick a cover song.
Year. All right, no. Lonnie. Let's go from the elder to the youngster. Younger.
The elder.
That young music anymore.
From the elder.
You know, I love King of the Nighttime World, and it's like, unlike Mark, every song on Destroyer has like some special meaning for me because it's the first Kiss record I ever heard. I just love Destroyer. But I'm going to go Black Diamond, and it's probably going to be unanimous amongst five of us. Even though I do love King of the Nighttime World a whole lot. And I love Paul's vocal. Man, it's a cover, this and that, but man, it's a Kiss song, in my opinion, when you listen to that song. Versus the original version of it, but I am gonna go Black Diamond, even though it's tough to see King of the Nighttime World, which is gonna fall in this round.
Okay, Mark.
Well, obviously, I think it's gonna be clear where I'm gonna go here. You know, it's on that album. But that said, King of the Nighttime World is probably my favorite song off that album. I've always kind of said that that's the one that's least Bobified out of all of them. So I think it's a good song. You know, it definitely isn't a complete landslide. It's not like that, like it's a, you know, like going into like Great Expectations or something like that. So it is definitely a great song that I went up against. But I'm going to make a prediction here now. I think Black Diamond's going to be the winner of this whole thing. If it isn't the winner of this whole thing, then Kiss fans need to take a good hard look at themselves in the mirror if it doesn't win. Okay.
Why should the other fans have to take a good long look at themselves?
Because if you don't agree Black Diamond is the best Kiss song that was ever written, then you really need
studio
to
version,
reevaluate.
But we're the ones voting, not them.
Yeah. But still, I'm just saying overall, because I'm looking at the people in the gallery too, because I'm looking at the people who are also commenting as well.
You're holding them accountable.
I'm holding all of you accountable, okay, for this, all right? But I think Black Diamond is definitely going to go through in this round, at least for sure. But I predict it's going to win the whole thing. We'll see, but that's what I'm guessing.
Wow, Daniel. I mean, Mark, you're the first opinionated Kiss fan I've ever met. Yes. Daniel.
I think there are some problems when it comes to the production of Black Diamond. I prefer the live version or even, you know, bootlegs from the 90s with Eric Singer on vocals. I think the studio version, well, that whole record, there's a problem with the production. But when you look at the song note by note, you know, solo, vocals, it's still a great song. So, and King of the Nighttime World is probably one of the best Kiss covers of all time. Maybe God Gave Rock and Roll to You is a bit better, but those two are my favorite covers. But I'll go with Black Diamond this time around, but I'm not so sure it will beat every song in the catalog for me.
This is an absolute no-brainer for me. King of the Nighttime World is a bombastic, grandiose, cinematic declaration of a new Kiss emerging, a butterfly being transformed from whatever. Black Diamond is fucking Trinity. It is holy Trinity of Kiss songs for me. Yeah. It is, again, one of those first Kiss songs I ever heard, fresh off a plane from England, experiencing the double platinum version. It's Black Diamond, without a doubt. Not only is it a great song, a great vocal, it's a great thing in concert. It's just great, great, great. And King of the Nighttime World is cool on occasion in comparison for me. So we have our first unanimous song.
Wow.
Next up. All right, Curly. Hard Times versus times. Unholy. Lonnie.
Child, please. We're going Unholy on this one. I like Hard Times, and I talk about how great Ace was in 79 after his solo album, how he really hit his stride, yada, yada, yada. But it's Unholy. Come on. Do the right thing, the other four of you.
Wow, that was quick and to the point.
Quick and to the point.
Do the right thing.
All right.
Do the right thing.
We've got to go to a partner in crime here for latter era stuff. Which one of you guys played the riff to Unholy in your riff offs? Mark.
Yeah. So okay, let's look at it this way, and I promise I won't make this really long. I've always said that Dynasty was one of these things, that, like those albums that I've always had a great fondness for. It. When I listen to it, it just screams New York City when I listen to it, and I love New York City. I've been there several times, and I love the city itself. So it rings true for me. That's it's a great, great song and great album. Unholy, again, when I first heard that song, I couldn't even believe it was Kiss. It just completely floored me when I heard that the first time. I thought, wow, unbelievable how great that song was. And it's always been, to me, one of these songs that I've always been highly impressed with. It has some of Bruce Kulick's best guitar solo work. And you know me, I'm a Bruce Kulick guy through and through. He's my number one Kiss guy. I've always said that from beginning to end. So Lonnie, I know me and you don't see eye to eye a lot of times and things, but brother, I'm with you on this one. It's Unholy.
All right, Ken, which Gene song are you voting for?
Wait a minute. Which Gene song? Yeah, this one was Gene. Yeah, I got to go with Unholy. It's just such a great song to come back with, kind of like, you know, after their, what is it, Hot in the Shade and all that stuff. And though I you know, I love Hard Times, but it doesn't stand up to Unholy. Unholy, the great just feel of it, the kind of the creepiness of it in a way, but very almost Metallica like, you know, in a way, right? That's what we're trying to go for, I think, when they did that song. But yeah, great guitar sound, guitar solo, yes, by Bruce, of course. The drumming, everything about it is great. The vocals, just great Gene vocals on that one. So I got to go with that one. That's an easy one.
Daniel?
When it comes to production and the way songs sound on studio albums, I'd say Unholy is my absolute favorite of all time, I think. That's the way I want the songs to sound. Maybe the drums on Creatures are a bit better, but otherwise, Unholy is perfection when it comes to sonics. Great lyrics, awesome Bruce solo, great vocals from Gene. I mean, this is one of my favorite studio versions of any Kiss song. Yeah, so this one ranks real high for me when it comes to studio versions. Live, we all know they couldn't, you know, it was too high for Gene, but the studio version still holds up. And when I play a song for Kiss, for non-Kiss fans, and I want to show them something that sounds real cool, I pick this song, the studio version of Unholy. So I that's my pick.
Well, I refuse to make this unanimous because my reaction to Unholy when I first heard it was, what the fuck is that?
Really?
Hard Times, I love the autobiographical nature of it. It's tougher. It's not fake. Everything about Unholy is fake. They weren't that band.
Whoa.
Leather trench coats, goatees, Pimping and Domino, that whole album is just a farce.
You're killing 13-year-old me.
Wow.
So you prefer the flamingo look? Like they had in the late 70s, early like 80s. That's what the way to look. You know, wearing some pink on stage. Yeah.
No, but Hard Times is completely contrasting to the Dynasty image.
That's because true.
It's the only song that had any street cred on that album was Ace's stuff. Unholy was just a copycat of a lot of elements and things. Yeah, it's exquisitely performed. Bruce's solo is absolutely stunning, but I'm going hard times on this. Sorry, guys.
There you go. Seven each, Julian.
Julian with a wet towel over that whole left run only.
Rocket ride. Let's have another attempt at the
ooh, rocket ride.
The original. Oh shit! Versus Rick Derringer, Exciter. Rocket ride versus Exciter. Lonnie.
Okay.
Good. That is really good, but I'm going 70s Ken on this one and going Rocket Ride over Exciter. I love Exciter. I think it kicks off, you know, Lick It Up the way Creatures of the Night kicked off Creatures of the Night. But Rocket Ride with Ace singing and just a 70s vibe of that, it's so underrated. It's got to be Rocket Ride for me over that. I do love Exciter, but man, Rocket Ride's so darn good. It should have been on Love Gun. You know, I mean, it's so great. And I think it had been on Love Gun, maybe it would have gotten more, you know, more love from the fan base than just being like just this, you know, side studio track off of a live too. But I'm going Rocket Ride. Sorry, Exciter.
All right.
I also have to go with Rocket Ride. I love that song, the way it starts. The riff is so cool in that song, and the guitar solo, great vocals by Ace. He feels comfortable by that time doing that one, and even the production on that is actually pretty darn, I like it, you know. I think they record it on the stage or whatever, I guess, those songs back then. That's a great song. I love Exciter. I think that's one of my favorite songs off of Lick It Up. But I like Rocket Ride over that, definitely.
All right, Mark.
Both songs are really exceptionally well done, well written, well recorded. Exciter, I've liked. I mean, that's one of the ones that me and Daniel did as well on our riff episode, and I sung its praises. I do like Rocket Ride. One thing I do like about Rocket Ride is that it does introduce a few different things from Ace that he hasn't. I don't think he's done on a Kiss album. After this as well, is that he's never used wah pedals like on his solo like he did in this song. And I mean, even the whole flanger thing, I mean, he does it in his solos and stuff like that, but as on a recorded song, I don't think he's done it very often, if memory serves correctly. And again, I love the 80s Kiss stuff too. But you know, I'm gonna go with Rocket Ride, but there's one thing I've always been suspect with Rocket Ride in closing with this, is that I've always wondered why they've never played it live. Like, why they never played it as a band. I mean, you know, Ace was in the band up until, you know, what, you know, the Elder. So they had opportunity. They could have did it during the Unmasked tour, and they never did it then, right? I just always wondered why they, for such a great song, why they never played it live. It's, you know, but I'm still going to go for Rocket.
Yeah, they released it as a single, actually, right?
It wasn't written by Gene or Paul, so
you don't want to give Ace too much love.
He got outvoted.
Yeah. It was their last top 40 single of the real Kiss, because once you get into Kiss. I Was Made for Loving You. Who's left?
Me.
Daniel. Sorry, Danny.
Yeah, they actually performed Rocket Ride live during the Farewell Tour as a part of a medley. And you didn't like that Ace played that song. What does the Ace Frehley band want to do next?
Yeah.
And they played Rocket Ride.
Probably because you didn't know what the song was.
No, he didn't know how to play it, I think.
Sorry, man.
But that was the first time when I heard that song. Was the first time I heard that effect, flanger, or however you pronounce it. Yeah. So, and I think it was real cool. And it's just unfortunate that they thought that "Then She Kissed Me" was a better Kiss song
than Rocket Ride, because if this would have ended up on Love Gun, I think it would have become more of a classic. Now it's sort of a throwaway on the final side of Alive 2, but Rocket Ride all the way.
Yeah, this is actually the most difficult matchup so far today for me personally. I love Rocket Ride. I think it's a fantastic song. But Exciter is one of the most outrageously good opening tracks on any Kiss album, and just the attitude of that. Because my vote really doesn't count at this point, I am going with Exciter for the 80s Kiss over Ace. Just because, to me, that song means more and has brought me far more pleasure in the early part of becoming a Kiss fan. So, like Daniel's Heaven's on Fire, I'm going to jump into the fire with Exciter. Hmm. All right. Next matchup. Love Gun. Mm-hmm. That's really nice. Now pick Love Gun versus Detroit Rock City.
Two Paul songs.
Lonnie.
Oh.
Exactly.
My gut just tells me Detroit Rock City. As much as I love Love Gun, and I think it's such a classic riff and just a classic Kiss song, I can't vote against it with up against Detroit Rock City, which is the more classic, the probably better song, in my opinion, even though it is very, very neck and neck. It's the better solo. It's better lyrics at the end of the day. So I'm going to go Detroit Rock City, even, and it's splitting hairs choosing that one. But for me, it's going to be Detroit Rock City. It's going to be interesting to see what the rest of the panel says, but we're going one vote Detroit Rock City.
Yeah, this is going to be brutal. Ken.
Yeah, it's kind of tough, but I'm with Lonnie on this. Detroit Rock City is a better, well-written song. And even though this is not the best, you know, our ultimate production of it or whatever, it still sounds pretty darn good and has a great lyric, great sound. The harmonizing, you know, guitar solo and all that stuff was all very cool. Love Gun I always liked it. It's a great song. Probably overplayed in concert, obviously. I'd rather hear Detroit Rock City in concert over Love Gun any day. So, I gotta go with Detroit Rock City for sure.
Okay, Mark. I'm actually very interested to see what Mark has to say in this one.
Well, I think the songs are very, very similar in a lot of ways. I mean, both songs are played so much that we're probably sick of both of them to a certain degree, if you're looking at it that way, like how often they're played. They're both considered classics, obviously. And I've said before, too, I think Detroit Rock City, if it wasn't for the long introduction to it, I think that it would be a song that I totally love. But I still love it anyways, regardless of the introduction to it. I think it has a great guitar solo in it. And I have to admit, I like the Detroit Rock City guitar solo better than I do the Love Gun one. And I think that Love Gun, while I think that the production of Love Gun is a little bit more to my liking, as we know, we don't have to go into great details why that is. But I think that I'm still going to give the nod to Detroit Rock City, because I think that overall, it's just one of those songs that I think Kiss fans would scream bloody murder more if that wasn't played than Love Gun.
Interesting. Daniel, you were jamming out to the solo on one of these songs prior to us going on the air.
Yeah, it's such a Yeah, it's such a perfect Bob Ezrin solo. Because, you know, Bob Ezrin sang that melody to Ace and said, play this. And one of his best contributions to the album, I think, that solo from Bob Ezrin.
Yeah.
Note for note, I think Detroit Rock City is the superior song. Love Gun is simplistic, but, you know, really cool song. I love that. You know, the drums go in and it works so well live. And I think the studio version sounds pretty cool as well. But, you know, Detroit Rock City is probably one of my favorites off of Destroyer. I think it's so well constructed. Everything from the vocals to the solo to the way it ends. I love the ending to that song and the story in the song. So I have to go with Detroit Rock City.
You know, Love Gun has a fantastic... I love the blast drums on that.
Me too.
I love that it takes the Blues Magoo solo and incorporates it because it has, again, historical connection with Ace's learning guitar from Pepe Castro. I like how it takes part of the Hunter from Albert King and Zeppelin, who had recycled and stolen it as well. But Detroit Rock City, I don't care if Bob Ezrin wrote that solo. Ace and Paul had to play that section, and it is just majestic. Yeah. The song tells a story. Again, it is everything that's perfect, even the intro. And I like how someone mentioned Americana and Evel Knievel, Opal Archive, thank you, and Marvel Comics and how that whole part of it illustrates something. Yeah, it does speak to Americana. And I think as a non-American, I think of it as it very much paints the band as an American band, a mighty American band as well, in a good sense. Detroit Rock City, across the board.
Wow.
All right, we've got two matchups left.
Lonnie had to go get ice.
Anyway. Yeah, you need another Yuengling. That's okay. We'll wait for him. I Love It Loud.
Mm-hmm.
I Love It Loud. Guys. Yeah.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Deuce. The studio version. Yeah.
Deuce. Ooh. Versus I Love It Loud.
Okay. Ken. Yeah, I mean, sure, the production is better on Creature of the Night, but and I Love It Loud is a great kind of anthem. But Deuce is, to me, the classic Kiss, you know, what it's all about. Great song. Great, cool. I still can't understand, you know, the riff. It's just a weird kind of riff that goes on in that song. That's what makes it cool. That's part of the coolness of that song. And then, and the lyrics is like, it's like, what are you talking about? I mean, but it's all like, oh, but it all works still. And
Gene's dropping a deuce.
Yeah. Gene's vocals on that are great. It's their kind of early really hard rocker for Kiss. I think that was the hardest rocking song they had. I mean, that's why it opened a lot of concerts, you know, down the road. So, great solo. Everything about it is great. I never get tired of Deuce. So I got to go with that.
Okay, Daniel.
I love Deuce. But for me, Deuce was the Alive 3 version, actually. I think that was the first time that I understood that was such a great song, when I heard that hard rocking version on Alive 3. And then I went back and listened to Alive. It was still awesome. And then I picked up the studio album, the debut, and I was so disappointed. I thought it sounded like crap compared to the live versions. So I actually never really got into the studio version. I much more prefer the live versions. The one on Alive and Live 3 both are awesome. And if we would vote live versions, I would go Deuce anytime. But studio versions, I'm not so sure. I Love It Loud is a bombastic song with a rally, you know, rallying the crowd with that chant. Great Gene vocals, Sinister, the lead-off single off of one of the greatest Kiss albums of all time. I think I'll go with I Love It Loud.
Oof. Lonnie, while you're away, the next matchup was Deuce versus I Love It Loud.
Studio versions.
Studio versions. Daniel's campaigning like I campaign. that's a great matchup because I do agree with Daniel that the studio version of Deuce is lacking in comparison to the live version and that Live 3 version. And I Love It Loud, so bombastic on Creatures. I love the way
that
it sounds on Creatures of the Night. And I think I'm going to agree with Daniel. I think I'm going to go I Love It Loud over Deuce because we have to remember we're talking studio versions and not live versions. While I probably, at the end of the day, may like Deuce better as a song, or may enjoy Deuce more in concert than I do I Love It Loud, I'm going to say, if we're looking at Creatures of the Night version of I Love It Loud versus the Kiss version of Deuce, I'm going to say Creatures of the Night. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm going to say I Love It Loud off Creatures of the Night.
Creatures of the Night. Julian killed Creatures of the Night way back.
I know he did.
Yeah, no, you're all trying to kill Deuce. Mark.
Do it.
I think it's interesting because Deuce has always been one of those songs I've loved. I played it on a couple of bands of mine that I was in. We used to cover that a lot. And we're talking about, even when we talk about these songs in like live aspects, which I'm not using that for, but it's interesting. Both songs are pretty well known live. I mean, when you listen to I Love It Loud, you have the whole audience doing the hey, but I mean, it's become so well known, that song, it's almost a live classic, I Love It Loud, in that aspect. But again, you know, when we're talking about this sort of comparison that we were talking about, when we're talking about studio records, you know, I've always loved Creatures of the Night. That record is so well done. I mean, even the weakest song on Creatures of the Night sounds all the better because of the production of it on there. I mean, it just takes it and puts it to another level. And, you know, I've always ranked the debut album very high in my top 20s or top 30 or whatever listings of the albums. But it does lack something overall. It takes those songs and doesn't make them nearly as good. Firehouse is a great example. It's a very poor version of that song on there. And same with Deuce. I mean, as much as I know Julian's going to kill me for this, I'm going to go with I Love It Loud. I think it's much better a studio song than Deuce's on there. You know, Deuce, I think, needed help and needed some drive and needed some balls to the guitar tone on there. It's just really, really just not – it doesn't hit hard at all. I don't know why people said it's a hard-hitting song because it's not on there. Compared to I Love It Loud, not even close.
I'm not going to burn down the podcast because I don't like the results of the election, Mark. But I must say, you all fell for fake news there. Deuce is holy. Deuce, whether it's off Smashes, whether it's off Alive, whether it's 95, 93, 73, 74, 70, whatever, Deuce is my jam. And I love every single version of it. I hear it in concert and I'm taken to a happy place. I watched Gene Simmons last week doing it live in concert and I smile. I listened to the first album and it sounds great there. It survives and is powerful and is excellent despite the production being shit, which I cannot argue against.
Great song.
Yeah, I am not going to vote I Love It Loud, which is equally a great song. because I'm voting my conscience here. I'm voting with a clear conscience, with no agenda. Deuce for me is the better song, and I lose this round. Up yours.
Wow.
I tried.
That's payback for Creatures of the Night.
I can't say the better song won there, but at least it was a good song. At least it wasn't Shandy.
Yeah.
All right. I Want You.
Oh,
versus Nowhere to Run.
Oof.
I Want You and Nowhere to Run.
I Want You versus Nowhere to Run. I'm going to go first on this.
Yeah.
And I'm going Nowhere to Run, which is a majestic, wow, absolutely stunning song that should have been performed live in concert and should have been a single. I Want You grates on me because, I am sullied by the live experience, and I can't only measure it against the Rock and Roll Over version, which is exquisite. But it's everything that it became. I put it up against Nowhere to Run, and Nowhere to Run is just absolutely stunning, and slightly more stunning than I Want You. Daniel?
Seems like the listeners are agreeing with you. A lot of votes for Nowhere to Run, and... two great songs, of course. If you're a 70s guy, there's some sound coming out of one of your microphones. I don't know whose. Whatever. I think Nowhere to Run is one of those hidden gems. First time I heard... Yeah, I think the production is perfect on Kiss Killers. I like the production. I like the way the vocals comes through. I like the bass. I hear the bass. I hear every instrument, which was lacking on later records like Asylum and Animalize. I think the drums were kind of buried, but on Nowhere to Run, you hear the drums, and we've all heard the versions on the Creatures box set, and they managed to, you know, improve from the beginnings. We started off with a pretty basic drumming, and then they improved that. And the Bob Kulick solo is really cool. I Want You is such a perfect song as well. You know, the intro. I love the version from the 1990 Hot in the Shade tour when, you know, the disco ball came from the rafters and the Kiss sign rose in the back. I mean, I think that was the first time I really understood that I Want You is such a great song. But that's a live version as well. This is a hard one. I think both songs are... close to perfection, but today I just played one of the riffs, and it wasn't I Want You, it was the Nowhere to Run riff. I love that riff, so I'll go with Nowhere to Run, but it's close.
Lonnie.
I'm gonna go, it is tough. I agree with you that Nowhere to Run and I Want You are both very, very well constructed, very good songs. But I think I Want You is the better song at the end of the day. While Nowhere to Run is great and maybe underappreciated being on Killers, I Want You is classic Kiss, and it's one of those songs, and I said it about Take Me and I said it about Come On and Love Me. But it just sounds to me what a Kiss song is supposed to sound like. And it represents everything that a Kiss song is supposed to be. Nowhere to Run is very good. I think I Want You is superior Kiss song for me.
This is a close one.
Yes.
You're muted, Julian.
You're muted. You did a Ken. What the hell?
Ken.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for you.
Sorry.
I love both songs. I think, you're talking about production. I don't think the production's that good of those four songs. I think it would have been better under the Creatures sound, I think the production of I Want You is much better, and the ultimate sound for a Kiss. But and plus the song itself, I Want You, is one of the early songs that got me hooked. Just the great, you know, I thought, oh, it's got to be a mellow song, and then it kicks you and, you know, hits you right in the face. And then everything about you, the vocals, the drums, the great guitar solo, the riff in that one, I think is better than in Nowhere to Run, for sure. And just great vocal, Paul Stanley vocal, just awesome vocal, one of his best vocals. So I Want You is a winner for me.
Well, Mark is going to slip out of his zen-like state and break the tie here between Nowhere to Run and I Want You.
Well, see, this is going to be tight because, you know, like I said, Rock and Roll Over is my favorite record, and what a way to start a record, I Want You. You know, I've always thought that was a great intro, that guitar's always been really one of those things. I've always enjoyed that sort of 12-string acoustic sound in there. It's really cool, and I've always been a fan of that album overall, the rawness of it, the and I agree, the singing Paul does is really good on this as well. And then, but then of course we also have, you know the other song we're talking about here. So I mean, obviously, which one
was it?
Well, come on, I mean,
which song is that, Mark?
Nowhere to Run is obviously one of the great songs that they've done. I mean, for me, the one thing about this song that I always thought that was interesting is why it never appeared on Creatures. I mean, there's probably reasons, obviously, why it wasn't, but it's such a great song. And all the things that we can talk about with I Want You, you can echo on that song as well, Nowhere to Run. I mean, I think Paul's vocals are really, really fantastic on that song. The guitar solo is fantastic in that song. It's one of the, I've always loved the arrangement of that song too, and I think the production of it is really well done as well. I think that it is the standout of the four, in my opinion, on that album, Killers. So as much as I do love I Want You, I'm going with Nowhere to Run. I think Nowhere to Run is a better song overall, and I think that it's to me it'll always be a classic.
Nice. I'm actually happy with that one after you guys killing Deuce. Shame on you. We'll have revenge. All right. So we are going to just do a quick recap here. The songs going into the final eight. And in the next deathmatch in June, we're going to do the final rounds to the winner. It'll all be in one fell swoop. All five of those are available. So the songs that are going to contest the final battle, Take Me, Come On and Love Me, Black Diamond, Unholy, Rocket Ride, Detroit Rock City, I Love It Loud, and Nowhere to Run, and Deuce.
180s song, 190s song, and the rest from the 70s. Well, that sounds pretty...
There were 80 songs. Mark. I Love It Loud and Nowhere to Run are 80s.
Yeah, that's actually 81. Yeah, that's true. Two 80s, yeah. One 90s.
I mean, it's really not surprising that we have that many 70 songs.
No.
I'm surprised that some of the 70 songs have been assassinated by you guys. Really.
Never been more disappointed in us.
Yeah. I'll kill Unholy eventually.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, so I want to take the opportunity to thank everyone for joining us today and chiming in with your votes and your opinions and your diagnoses of our insanity. That's always helpful. doing these live shows is what it's all about. We started the show talking about whether, you know, there's a loss of interest, but getting together and doing these shows and having your opinions while we do it keeps it fun. But that's it for this episode. So for now, for Ken, for Mark, Lonnie, Daniel, and myself, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Thank you for spending time listening to the Kiss FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the Kiss FAQ message board and discuss the topic we've broadcast today. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Spreaker, or wherever you've listened to the show. We hope you'll join us again.
Sorry, Deuce.